Good afternoon, I'm Kathy Lewis. If you could discover one thing about yourself through DNA, what would it be? Have you ever tested your DNA? Was it worth it? Ancestry isn't the only thing that can be traced through DNA. Advances in technology have allowed researchers to discover hundreds of genetic links to traits as well. And today we'll consider how science can help you find another piece of your personal puzzle. We'll also take a look at the FBI Citizen Academy. All that along with your calls after this news from NPR. Good afternoon. We're coming up on 6 minutes past the hour. It's great to have you with us today. In the second half of our program, we're going to be talking about DNA testing, essentially these kits that you can buy. There are a number of companies engaged in this process that essentially analyze your DNA. And so we have a question on our Facebook page, and indeed, we're posing that question to you as well in the second half of our program today, which has to do with whether you have ever been curious about your DNA. Are you somebody who has actually purchased one of these kits? What did you find out? Did it make a difference to you? Was your finding good or bad in terms of how you felt about it after the fact? We'd love to hear about that in the second half of our program. Today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Miguel Vilar, who's a molecular anthropologist and the chief scientist for National Geographic's Genographic Project. They are really sitting on the cutting edge of this stuff. And so we'll talk with him about newer style DNA testing kits, what they can reveal and what they can tell us about the shape of human history. So Dr. Miguel Vilar joining us a little bit later in the broadcast. Meanwhile, we're at 8 minutes past the hour, and we're talking in the first half of the show today about the FBI's Citizens Academy. There are lots of folks who've gone through this. It's a program that you can apply to that takes place over the course of several months. They get together, on a nightly basis once a month, and then some day programs as well. We'll get all the details on that. But the idea here is to introduce citizens to what the FBI does. And so you can apply to the program. We'll have information in the course of our show about how to do that. If you have ever been part of the Citizens Academy, we'd love to hear from you today at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Of course, you can also join us on our Facebook page as well if you've been part of the FBI's Citizen Academy. We're at 9 minutes past the hour. Glad to have Vanessa Torres with us today. She's the community outreach specialist for the Norfolk chapter of the FBI Citizens Academy alumni organization. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're also glad to have Aubrey Shelton with us today, who's the president of the Citizens Academy Alumni Association and also a graduate of the program. Aubrey Shelton, good to have you with us today.
Great to be on.
We are wanting you to know about this because the deadline for applications for next year's class are due on the very last day of 2016, on December 31st. So that's part of the reason why we wanted to make sure that you were aware of this. Vanessa Torres, before we talk about the specifics of the Academy itself, what does the FBI have in mind here?
Well, the FBI Citizens Academy is actually a branch of our community outreach program. Our community outreach program started in 1988, and it was simply what we know today as a DARE program. It was very focused towards young people and how to prevent crime and how to keep them from straying to drugs and things like that. However, in 1993, the Phoenix Division started their first Citizens Academy by bringing in citizens from the Phoenix area and giving them an inside look at the FBI. And since 1993, all of the FBI offices have implemented the Citizens Academy into their outreach program.
And what is the FBI looking for out of this?
What we're looking to be is a catalyst for improving the quality of life in our communities and the communities that we serve. We definitely want to project a positive image of the FBI, and we want to demystify our agency, particularly when there are so many programs out there about the FBI and law enforcement. And most of what people know and hear about our agency, they know it from television. So we like to give people an inside look and let them know who we really are.
We're at 12 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Talking about the FBI Citizens Academy, wondering if you're somebody who has been through that program. And you can also join us on our Facebook page as well. By the way, the Norfolk's website for the FBI, the Norfolk office, is norfolk.fbi.gov. Aubrey Shelton, as you think about the Citizens Academy, because you're the president of the Alumni Association, these are folks who've been through the program, what do you think an individual gains from this experience?
Well, I think they get quite a lot. It is a really behind-the-scenes view. And, you know, the FBI really has some quality agents. And they are the ones that are teaching the program. And every time that somebody goes through, they have a thorough understanding. Every question, I've been through so many different classes, and I've never seen a question that wasn't answered right on the spot. Mm. And I find that quite interesting because some of the folks come in and they really have some interesting concepts. And they are sort of challenging. They really think that they have found something that is, you know, secret or something. And all of a sudden, when the FBI explains it, it just makes perfectly great sense. And it turns out other people might have had that same question. And so I think that's what they get the most out of. It's just a better understanding of what they are, you know, what they do, how they go about doing it. How come things take longer than the 60 minutes that a TV program can, you know, solve a crime?
We're also told, Vanessa Torres, that this the idea here is to select people based on their community service activities and their potential to be what is called a force multiplier. What does that mean? What is the FBI looking for here?
We're looking for business owners. We're looking for people from diverse backgrounds, religious leaders, civic leaders, and just community leaders at large, because what we're trying to do is make ambassadors out of them. As we teach them about the FBI, we would like for them to also share the information in their community. So we're looking for people who are involved in the community and can help us to spread the word and to help us not only to demystify the agency, but also to identify crime problems that may be affecting their community.
So how would they do that, identify crime problems? And are you anticipating they will somehow be involved in giving the FBI information about what's going on in their communities? What are you expecting here?
What we expect is involvement in our community outreach program. And some of the ways that they become involved are to initiate programs within their own organizations or to invite us to come and speak to another group of people, for example, to their faith-based groups or their churches or their civic leagues. And as we come out, the word about the FBI and about our mission and priorities spreads into the communities. And so that's what we're expecting, is that we are invited back into the areas where they live and so that we can continue our outreach work that way.
We're at 15 minutes past the hour, 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. We're talking today with Vanessa Torres, who's Community Outreach Specialist for the Norfolk Chapter of the FBI Citizens Academy Alumni Association, and Aubrey Shelton, who's the president thereof. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Aubrey Shelton, give us a sense of the particulars of the program. I know the class generally meets about 10 times, about 10 sessions over the course of a year. Give us a sense of how that breaks down.
Well, with the Alumni Association, we have monthly meetings. And what we do is we have very interesting speakers that come in and share their knowledge with our Alumni Academy. We're also able to get behind-the-scenes tours through the Norfolk International Airport. We've gone through programs with where TSA does their demonstration. The Norfolk Airport Police do their demonstration with what they're looking for. And also, it really helps, you know, with the general knowledge of when you're going through TSA, what to expect, what to do, what not to do, general things like that. We also have tours of the International Shipyard, which is quite fascinating because you have these huge container boxes coming across the country, and how the FBI is able to, not the FBI, but actually how the International Terminal handles their shipments. They know exactly what's in every container and where it is at all times, and it was quite revealing just to go through that tour.
Well, Aubrey Shelton, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And Vanessa Torres, thank you as well. Really appreciate your being here today. And we'll let people know that they have until December 31st to apply for the Academy. Vanessa Torres, where can people apply?
We encourage people to go to norfolk.fbi.gov and click in the section about the community, and that's where the application is located. All applications come directly to our office. And I also wanted to just add one thing here about the curriculum, because what we teach is designed to educate the students about the history and the inner workings of the FBI. So anyone who is interested in learning about terrorism, foreign counterintelligence, cybercrime, public corruption is welcome to put in an application. We are accepting them until December 31st.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Vanessa Torres and Aubrey Shelton, really appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye. Norfolk.fbi.gov is where you can learn more information about the program as well. We will put that on our Facebook page. Tomorrow in this hour, we'll continue our conversations in the aftermath of the election in November. Today, news that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell condemned foreign interference with U.S. elections, announced that the Senate Intelligence Panel will investigate Russia's suspected election interference. That announcement coming a day after a group of senators called for a bipartisan investigation of Russian interference. So we'll talk about the potential there for investigations and what may happen. As you know, the Electoral College is scheduled to convene on December 19th, and there are updates to that story that we brought you last week as well, when we talked with Larry Lessig, the Harvard Law professor, who has started an effort to get the Electoral College to get some of the electors to become faithless electors. So we'll update that process as well. Some in Congress have endorsed the idea of a special select committee to lead the investigation, but McConnell stopped just short of that, saying that any probe would follow quote-unquote regular order throughout the current committee structure. So we'll see where that goes in the days and weeks to come. But tomorrow we will be updating that issue as we seek to explore more fully the aspects that are leading, that have evolved from the November election. We're at 20 minutes past the hour. In just a few minutes, we're going to check in with Pledge Central. We're also going to, in the second half of the program, talk with Dr. Miguel Vilar, who's a molecular anthropologist and the chief scientist for the National Geographic's Genographic Project. And we're wondering what your experience of these DNA tests has been. 23andMe, certainly a popular one. We see that is a top contender on a lot of folks' holiday gift list. So we're wondering what your experience of that has been. And we'll get to all of that and more in just a few minutes. You can log on, by the way, to our Facebook page, where we will have that question up for you, where you can talk about your experience of DNA testing, whether that's been a good or a bad scenario for you. You know, information is a powerful thing, and sometimes we probably have to figure out whether we're okay with whatever results before we do that. So we have that question up on our Facebook page as well. So tomorrow we continue our post-election conversation. On Wednesday, we'll talk about the hidden figures of Hampton Roads. This is going to be such a terrific show. Hidden Figures, of course, the new movie that's out that talked about these African-American women at the birth of space flight and at the birth of the NASA agency. And we'll be talking to NASA's chief historian, Bill Berry, about his work on the Hidden Figures film and what he's learned about our own hometown heroes and their contributions to science. So Bob Grismer, who is the CEO of the Virginia Air and Space Center, will also be with us to talk about getting young people interested in the STEM fields. And so that's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to that on Wednesday. And then, of course, on Thursday, we'll head into the garden with Jim Orband. He'll be with us today to talk about your winter gardening. So all of that will happen in just a few minutes. Let's go take a quick break to check in with Pledge Central. And when we come back, we're going to post our questions for you about DNA testing and where you think whether you've done that before and what you think it could possibly reveal. All that and more in just a few minutes.
Good afternoon. I'm Wayla Shambo from Sister Station WHRO, and I'm here with board member Barry Palera in our Pledge Central.
We are excited to be here. This has been a great morning. We've raised $10,905. Our daily goal is $25,000. I want to thank everyone who's called or clicked and pledged online. Wasn't that an interesting set of topics that Kathy talked about?
It really was when you look at the range of what she's talking about this week. And that's what you get on Hearsay, such a variety of different topics and perspectives. Maybe you've called in to Hearsay to comment or ask a question of the guests. And, you know, Kathy Lewis celebrated 20 years of Hearsay recently back in October.
20 years.
Yes, we had a great celebration for that. And we have a few left of these very special pledge thank you gifts that we were offering for the 20th anniversary. It's a Slanket.
It's an amazing thing. It looks it's like a sweater and a blanket combined.
That's right. It's basically a blanket with sleeves. It's very cozy, nice for this cold, damp weather we're having lately. And if you would like one of those with the embroidered Hearsay logo, we'd be happy to give you one as a thank you for pledging your support for this program. That's at the level of just $20 a month or a one-time pledge of $240.
Kathy is such a classic here in Hampton Roads. She knows the heartbeat of this community. She brings on people to talk about things that we're interested in. And then she lets you be part of the discussion by calling in. You know, as she was doing something on the Electoral College, I remember Garrison Keillor's comment. He said, the Electoral College works better if you just don't think about it. And I think we're certainly in that situation this year. We've got to find out whether the Russians have been hacking. We need to know what's going on in the world because all of that stuff really affects the Hampton Roads community. Hampton Roads is a community with a lot of military people. I came here as part of the military. Military people risk their lives every day to keep us safe. And we have to know why they're doing what they're doing. And we have to support them in that way. Kathy's a great exponent of that sort of discussion.
Absolutely. And it's a really easy way to support Hearsay and the other programs on WHRV by becoming a sustaining member. Call 889-9476, 1-800-940-7170. You give a little bit each month, whatever amount you designate, and it makes a really big difference in supporting the programs on WHRV.
We have over 20,000 members. So you would be joining a great group if you are a new member. But we also have over 5,000 sustainers, and that number is growing. And the number of sustainers growing is a great thing because there's a base of cash flow. Again, I think it's important to understand this is a very well-run, very financially sound organization. What you do with your pledge of support is you make it possible for us to keep the quality high, to choose the best shows to present on radio and television, to support local programming. That's the kind of thing that your pledge of support does.
That's right, Barry. And you know that your donation is going to be put to good use when you call 889-9476 or make your pledge online at whrv.org. It goes to make programs like Hearsay possible, make it possible for us to get the best guests in for Kathy Lewis to talk to, and also to bring you all of the NPR programs that you love. We were just listening to On Point and the Diane Rehm Show. And then also the music programs that we have on WHRV as well.
They're local music programs. They're eclectic music. They're different things that you just don't hear anywhere else. There's no doubt about that. Where do you find bluegrass? Where do you find jazz?
You find it right here on WHRV.
Yeah, and new music and even classical on the other station. There's just not a lot of places to go to find any of that. That's the stuff that's here, stuff you don't find anywhere else.
And we have a lot of thank you gifts available if you call us at 889-9476. Our lovely volunteers would be happy to take you through those and let you choose a thank you gift if you like. We have a great WHRO umbrella that's available for a pledge of $110. It's a nice big umbrella. I like those big ones.
Yeah.
They really keep you covered in the rain. It's black and white with the WHRO logo. Great way to show your support around town for this radio station.
Hamilton, the great Broadway show that nobody can buy a ticket to. If you want to get the discs, the two CD sets of all the music.
That's right. We have the original Broadway cast recording available as a thank you gift as well for just a $12 a month pledge.
$12 a month.
So while you're waiting to get your tickets, you can get the CDs, learn all the songs, and then sing along. Just call 889-9476 or go to whrv.org.
This is important radio. This is important not only to the local area, but to the country and to the world. We need to be informed. We have to know what's fake news, what's real news. We have to hear both sides of the story. That's the kind of thing, both locally and nationally and internationally, that you get at WHRV at NPR. Call us now, 889-9476, 800-940-7170.
And we're 29 minutes past the hour, and we're glad to have you with us today. We're talking about DNA testing, wondering whether you have contemplated this. Maybe you have bought your own DNA testing. What are the reasons that went into that process, and how did you choose what you wanted to know? 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. DNA certainly central and key to so many criminal cases now, to so many paternity cases and the like. We're learning more and more about what DNA can tell us about our own physical composition, and people are finding out some very interesting things. So we're wondering, if you've had your DNA tested, what have you found? What have you learned through that process? 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. John's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi. We all know tech companies track our data, store our data, sell our data. If you get 23andMe or Ancestry.com, what's to say they're not going to sell it to an insurance company in the future if they have your DNA?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and there certainly have been some concerns expressed about it, but I will tell you that it does not seem to have stopped the number of people from engaging in this process, that's for sure. John, I note your privacy concerns, and we'll put that on the table to chat about today. Carol is on the line from Cobbs Creek. Hi, Carol, you're on the air.
Okay, my son and daughter-in-law gave us Ancestry.com for the DNA testing last year, so we had it done.
Yeah.
And I'm from a totally Italian family, But it came back that I'm 80% Italy and Greece, 13% Caucasus, 3% Middle East, and 3-something other regions. So I don't know what that means, but there we are.
There you go. So was it interesting for you, Carol?
Well, it was, really. My sister had the 23andMe done.
Yeah.
But I forget what that is. I don't have that in front of me. But I'm out walking, and I just happen to have that on my phone.
Yeah.
So I could call you. But yeah.
I really appreciate that, Carol. Now, what about, you said they gave it to both of you. Is that right?
And so my husband is totally Irish, but he was a little bit English and a little bit of, you know, other things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. That's
so is that what it does basically, is just sort of give you a sense of demographically what your makeup is?
Right. And I think they're saying, if you really get into it, they say that you can then connect with other people.
Yeah.
But we haven't done any of that.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So,
yeah, you never know who's going to turn up. I mean, you know, when you have family all over the universe, you never know who's going to turn up. Carol, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Paula's on the line from Surrey. She had an interesting experience with DNA testing. Hi, Paula. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I actually did the Ancestry DNA test about a year or so ago, and had was interested in investigating sort of some longstanding family lore. My grandmother had, you know, sort of passed down this idea that her grandmother was Native American, was adopted into the family, into a family from the Abenaki tribe up in Maine. And it was just very opaque and sort of some inconsistent stories over the year. And a couple of my cousins and I, who were interested in genealogy, had done a little bit of research and found that, there were actually two wives.
Ooh.
And it may have been the second wife who was the Native American and or us. So I went ahead and did the Ancestry DNA and found that I am almost, you know, 100% European mutt.
Oh.
With no trace of Native American whatsoever.
So
kind of disprove that one.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit sad, but oh well.
All right. But you can still tell the story, Paula. I hear that. You know, that's interesting because one of our other listeners said he had always been told that he was Native American, found out that he was Native American on his mother's side and Ukrainian on his dad's side, but none of this was documented anywhere. So he sort of enjoyed getting to know that. And in Paula's case from Surrey, she found out that the lore that had been passed down was perhaps not so much true. Paula, thank you for the call. Christina's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Christina, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Three very quick things. I had the same family lore that there was Native American in my family. I learned that I was more African American than Native. I had 0.02, which is negligible, Native American, and 0.03 African American.
Uh-huh.
But people have to understand you need DNA from both of your parents to get the full picture. I have an X chromosome, so I carry my mother's DNA. I don't have any available from my father.
I see.
Yeah. But another family member did 23andMe and got the report back with a lock on it. And the way they handle it is you have to voluntarily unlock the lock. But it warns you that what is locked is very disturbing information.
Oh,
and
wow.
She learned that she had both genes for Alzheimer's.
Oh.
Now, that's very disturbing news, but it has afforded her family an opportunity to prepare.
Right. And of course, that's really one of the key issues around this is that intersection between knowledge and insurance and the like. And so that's a very, very important conversation. Christina, I thank you for the call. Jeff's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hi there, Kathy. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Like a lot of people, I did my family tree through Amazon.com, but I also did the DNA test to sort of dig back further. You can only go so far just with traditional family trees. So the DNA sort of takes you back to the beginning of time. And it did verify that most of my family was, you know, my DNA is from the UK, from England.
Yeah.
But what it also showed was Scandinavian and Iberian Peninsula. So that, to me, was curious when you think about the migration of people and
yeah.
how raiding armies, whether they were Vikings coming into the UK, and, you know, there were so many rapes and pillages and that sort of thing. But all of that would, you know, ultimately affect your DNA. So.
Interesting point, Jeff, and I thank you for the call. 25 minutes before the hour, we're glad to have, by the way, we want to hear more of your stories of what you found when you you researched your DNA, lots of places that you can do that now. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Dr. Miguel Villar is with us today. He's a molecular anthropologist and the chief scientist for National Geographic's Genographic Project. Dr. Villar, thank you for being with us today.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
So give us a sense of what you're doing as it relates or doesn't relate to some of these more sort of commercially available DNA testing kits.
Right. So the Genographic Project, it's been around for about 11 years now, since 2005, and it's one of the first DNA kits that you could purchase. But it's also not just a kit. It's also a project. It's a scientific project, and that's sort of how it began.
Uh-huh.
So what Genographic has been able to do over the past 11 years has been able to work closely with scientists and look at parts of the DNA that really tell a story and tell, for many of us, an ancient story about where our ancestors came from, how we're all connected, how we all migrated from a common root in Africa thousands of years ago, and how we came to populate the Earth over the course of the last 50 to 100,000 years.
And so how did you get involved in this project?
Well, I was an anthropology student in college, and I always was very interested in mathematics and science as well. So I found this sort of a merge coming together of different sciences, the natural sciences and the social sciences. And I got my PhD about 6 years ago in 2010, and I immediately made a contact with a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Theodore Shore, who ran the North America part for the Genographic Project. And I worked with him. He brought me in, and when I started working with him, I started bringing more of Latin America. We started a project in Puerto Rico. We started a project in Mexico, and we began to sort of expand the project into Latin America. And I did that for about 3 years before coming down to Washington, D.C., and began managing the project under the supervision of Dr. Spencer Wells, who is the founder and creator of the Genographic Project. And for the past year and a half, since Dr. Wells left, I've been managing and directing the project.
And you found out some really interesting things with regard to, I guess, to your own background and in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, so I some of the earliest field work that I did as a participant, as a researcher for the Genographic Project, was working in Latin America and Puerto Rico especially. So I'm my father's Puerto Rican, and I'm half Puerto Rican, if you can think of it that way, identity-wise. But when I looked at my biology, when I looked at my genetics, I found that I carried Native American. And when you dig deeper in Latin American populations, you see that Latin Americans themselves are a mixture. They're not one gene pool. They're a mixture of different genes that came together over the last 500 years or so. So by looking at my own DNA, I could sort of tell the history of how a place like Puerto Rico came settled. I am predominantly European, but I do carry about 2 or 3% Native American and about 2% West African as well.
Wow, interesting.
The Caribbean, where Puerto Rico is, was sort of a hub of a population movement for many, many centuries.
That's really interesting. We're at 20 minutes before the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. We're talking about genetic testing today, wondering if you have had your DNA tested, if you're interested in doing that, or are you one of those people who just says, look, the mystery remains and the mystery will remain unsolved? Samuel's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Samuel, you're on the air.
Hi there, great to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you.
So I've got a story. My my half-sister just found out that she has a long-lost uncle through Ancestry.com.
Huh.
Her mother's very much into genealogy, and it popped up that there was a relation, a very close relation, and so she found out that it was basically, so my sister's grandmother had a teenage pregnancy, and at that time they sent her away, and she never spoke of it.
Oh, wow.
And lo and behold, they've reconnected, and it's been a really kind of a wonderful long lost family.
That's fantastic. Samuel, I appreciate the call. You know, it's interesting, and Dr. Villar, because your research really is very ancient as well as modern, but Samuel's call really strikes me because so many times these stories get handed down in families, or things happen in families that nobody wants anybody to know about, and so they don't get talked about. And really, in some respects, I suppose, the DNA is the great demystifier here, huh?
Yes, so the DNA has kind of come in at an interesting point when we're talking about ethnicity and identity. So I heard several of your earlier callers also talk about knowing the history of possibly having Native American ancestry and then taking the test and not finding any. And in some cases, there are people who are adopted who don't know anything about their biological parents and take the test. And so it's a very exciting time to live in where we can actually use the internet, for instance, just to research our own genealogy in a sense, or meet people through the social media. But at the same time, we can do it biologically. And in the field, there's a new field called genetic genealogy that brings those two things together. And it's one field that's taken off immensely right now.
So how do you go about that? I mean, because one of our earlier callers said you need genetic material from both parents. But the work that you're doing is going back thousands of years. So tell us about that.
Right. So there's a part of your DNA that we only inherited from our mother, and that's called the mitochondrial DNA. And that actually is the one that we can use to trace migration going back tens of thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands of years. So we all carry mitochondrial DNA. Everybody got it from their mother, who got it from her mother and her mother and her mother. So it's a direct line of descent, but it's really only going through the mother side. And there's something similar that only men carry in the Y chromosome. I heard the caller talk about the X chromosome. Well, we specialize, one of the things we specialize at Genographic is looking at the Y chromosome DNA. And every man got that from his father, who got it from his father and his father and his father and his father. So these two parts of the DNA are almost like telescopes for us to look back in time. And I'm talking tens of thousands of years in some cases. So we're talking about deep migration when people first entered the Americas, when people first reached the Caribbean, for example, and even going back 50,000 years when Neanderthals were living in Europe and the Middle East and humans migrated from Africa and encountered Neanderthals. So we're telling these very deep ancient stories, especially through these two biological markers, the mitochondria and the Y chromosome.
It's fascinating. 17 minutes before the hour, it's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. So as you think about the implications of this, particularly when we're talking about the distant past, this, I guess, has an opportunity to tell us more about how humans evolved and how humans got to where they are today.
Right. So the Genographic Project has been focused a lot on the hardcore science, the anthropology science of genetics. And so we've been able to look at what we call markers, and in many cases, they're sort of genetic mutations that we all carry. And those genetic mutations are almost like ticks on a clock. The genetic mutations that I carry in my DNA occurred once in my ancestors, in the life of my ancestor, about hundreds or thousands of years ago. So what we do is we count these little ticks across the clock of our DNA, in a sense, and we can tell the migration path that our ancestors took by sort of counting.
And you're really looking for members of the general public to help participate in this process because it's important to your work, I guess.
Yes. So we're looking for members of the public who both are interested in learning about their own past, because we can also tell you about the sort of genetic composition. How much Northern European, how much Iberian, how much North African anybody carries. And I know people are very interested in that, but we're also looking for more and more people to participate in order to really reconstruct, be able to tell the branches of the human family tree that are still undiscovered in a sense. And the more people that join, the more we can tell about our shared human past.
Tell us about this partnership with Helix, H-E-L-I-X.
Right. So about a month ago, several weeks ago, not quite a month yet, we joined a partnership with a company called Helix. They're based in California, and they are the top, not more, the latest in and the sequencing of DNA technology. And together with them, we will be able to provide you with sort of your deep ancestry, your genealogy, your story through your DNA, but you'll be able to join an ecosystem and from there be able to learn more about your past or learn more about your traits. You can do explore anything about your DNA. Once you take the test, so your DNA enters an environment. You in a sense enter your environment. Your DNA is secure and safe, and you can then in the future find out, oh, I want to learn about do I have a the gene for running a marathon? Do I have a gene for exploration? And then test and learn new things about your DNA once you join the ecosystem.
We're at 14 minutes before the hour. Lyle is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Lyle. You're on the air.
Hi. I got my DNA tested through two services. It was right after they had a big price drop, so I decided to splurge. And through genealogy that my cousins had done, I knew a lot about one lineage on my parents' side, on my mother's side, that went back to a man that immigrated from Germany. But on my father's side, I knew nothing except my my grandmother's maiden name was a German name, so I assumed I was German there. So I've been thinking, you know, oh, I'm mostly German, And I got my DNA results back, and it turns out, no, my ancestors mostly came from the British Isles. Huh. A little from Germany, France, and everything else is just...
Yeah. Now, does that change things for you, Lyle? I'm just curious in terms of, because you're one of many who've called in the course of the program and said, I thought this, but I discovered that. So does that change your family lore in any respect?
Well, it really more expands it. It was as though I was looking in a dark room with a flashlight.
Uh-huh.
And somebody flipped the light on. Now I can see a lot more of the room at once.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then, of course, the other thing is they tell me I'm 2.8% Neanderthal.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that's good or bad.
Okay. Well, Lyle, thank you for the call. Mary has a question from Williamsburg related to that as well. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Actually, that just answered my question.
Yeah?
I wanted to know whether the modern stream would go back far enough to tell whether you were a combination of Neanderthal and modern man.
Interesting. Yeah, well, let's find out more about that from Dr. Villar. Mary, thank you for the call from Williamsburg today. Dr. Villar, tell us about that Neanderthal connection.
Right. So at first, we 100 years ago, we learned that there was a species that looked like humans, but really humans. They lived in Europe, mostly in the Middle East, and we called them Neanderthals, based on a German location, Neander Mountains. And what we discovered recently was that when humans met Neanderthals, it wasn't one population completely killing and replacing the other. There was a lot of that, like happens when any two populations meet, but there was also a little bit of mixing that happened. And we discovered this because of the DNA technology. And what we discovered is that most people of European ancestry, Asian ancestry, and as well as Native American ancestry, carry a small percentage, sometimes 1-2, maybe as much as 3%, depending on what combination you had. And that is sort of a legacy that shows that we are, you know, human, but our ancestors did mix with a cousin species in a sense. And some of these genetic markers that Neanderthals carried may have been advantageous, and that's why we kept them. But it is no surprise. It doesn't mean anything different about you if you carry 2% or 3%. It's sort of an interesting little factoid that something happened in our deep human prehistory, in a sense.
Interesting. Wow. Dr. Miguel Villar is with us today. He's a molecular anthropologist and the chief scientist for National Geographic's Genographic Project. They are doing a new test kit called the Geno 2.0 Next Generation. Can you tell us about that, Dr. Villar?
Yes. So we have a kit that we launched in partnership with Helix, as I mentioned earlier, which enables you to look with one test, be able to test your mitochondrial DNA, which we all carry. It looks into your deep ancestry through your mother's side. For men, it can also test the Y chromosome DNA, which looks at your deep ancestry through your paternal side. It also looks at your how much Neanderthal DNA you carry, which we talked about a minute ago. And some of us is 1%. Mine was about 1.5%, but the caller earlier was close to 3%. And again, I don't want them to think of anything other than interesting factoid about our history. And the test also enables you to look at your sort of biogeographic composition, how much a Northern European you carry, how much Iberian, how much North African, what different components each of your ancestors contributed. And that's sort of an interesting part that I discovered that I was about 2% Native American, 1.5% West African. I was predominantly Iberian and about 40% Great Britain. I was also, in a sense, mostly a European mutt, but I had little bits and pieces from other places, and that was a neat discovery as well.
Yeah. Now, how much does this cost, and where could one participate?
You can find it online at genographic.com, www.genographic.com, and also through nationalgeographic.com, so the general website for the society and for National Geographic partners. Right now, the current price is $149, and you can actually buy it. The delivery is quite fast. You could get it before the holidays begin.
And what would that? So once you get that, is it a saliva test? What is it?
It is a saliva test. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's similar to what others have in the market right now. So it's you get a box and it talks about the project, and inside the box is a little tube, and you have to spit into the tube. You provide a few milliliters in a sense of saliva, and you close it up, you seal it, and you mail it back. It's the postage paid little box.
Yeah.
And it goes back to you. It takes usually it's about 6 weeks, I think.
Okay.
Like 8 weeks, depending on how much of a back, how much we have already in the lab. But I would say about 2 months, most people get the results. And you'll get the results online, and sort of a whole online experience, interactive, and you can see the migration path of your ancestors. You can look at your biogeographic composition. It's all done online.
Wow, that is amazing. What a fun thing to do in the holiday season. Grady's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Grady, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks.
I was wondering if you have a father who's maybe Native American and a mother who is European, and say they have a son. The son will get the Y chromosome from the father and the X from the mother. Then if that son has a daughter, he passes over the European X chromosome. Are you able to determine the ancestry of, like, the Native American, the grandfather?
Wow. Grady, you stumped the panel, at least in the host chair, that's for sure. What about that, Dr. Villar? Can you help us out with that?
Yes, actually, I can. That's sort of one of those cases where you have sort of a generation moving back and forth, looking at the father's mother, the mother's father, and back and forth. And the X chromosome is one case where you could do that very interestingly. You can't trace it through the mitochondrial DNA or the Y chromosome DNA test that we provide, but through what we call the autosomal test, which is looking at the rest of your genome. And when we call autosomal, in this case, I'm including the X chromosome. So when you take a test, the majority, about 95% of the markers that we look at, are the autosomal markers. And within that, about 1/20 or so is the X chromosome. X chromosome is a big chromosome, and so we look at thousands and thousands of markers on the X chromosome. So when you do the test and you download your data, you can actually look at the markers on the X chromosome and then from there see if they were coming from a Native American ancestry.
Grady, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So you can find out more about this program at Genographic, GENOGRAPHIC, .nationalgeographic.com. And we'll put that on our Facebook page as well, so you can download that if you have interest in the program. Dr. Miguel Villar, thank you so much for being with us today from National Geographic's Genographic Project.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Dr. Villar is, you can follow him on Twitter, at Miguel Villar, MiguelGVillar. And we'll put that on our Facebook page as well. So very interesting information about your DNA. This is becoming so popular. I can't even believe how many people are doing this these days. Thanks so much for listening today. Coming up this week, a couple of things we want to make sure that you are aware of. Up next right here on 89.5, of course, it's Radiolab. Coming up tonight on WHRO TV 15 at 8 and 9, it is the Antiques Roadshow. Lots of fun stuff underway there in the first hour. They've got a Chinese imperial ceremonial outfit featured. And then in the second hour, they have a letter by George Washington, and two Irish Dragoon swallowtail flags are appraised. And I think we all have some of those kicking around in our attic. So that'll be very, very fascinating for all of us. 56 minutes past the hour. Do want to let you know about this. Coming up Wednesday of this week, our good friend of this broadcast, a personal good friend, is a longtime local news anchor, Jane Gardner. You may have been following her chronicle of having fought off cancer not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. In the Virginian Pilot, Elizabeth Simpson has done a tremendous job of chronicling her battles in the pages of the Virginian Pilot. Elizabeth, of course, the medical writer there. Jane is going to be giving a talk on this issue, which is a real story of spirit and will and community, and that's going to come up this Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Chrysler Museum. So I think that's going to be a great opportunity. It's a very inspiring story. Jane is certainly somebody who's been a dear treasure in this community, and what an extraordinary story. I mean, it's come back four times, and every time she just stands and does battle. So there it is. That's coming up for you Wednesday morning at 11 at the Chrysler Museum. Lots of great programming coming up this week on WHRO TV 15 on Wednesday night, later on that evening at 9 o'clock. Mystery of a Masterpiece is coming up on Nova. I've seen the preview for that. It's really, really interesting, where they look to figure out what's going on in the criminal market for stolen and fraudulent art. This is a huge issue across the globe. So that's coming up Wednesday night at 9 on WHRO TV 15. And then on Friday night on WHRO TV 15, it's Joshua Bell's Seasons of Cuba. Joshua Bell, of course, the world-renowned violinist. He worked with musicians from America and Cuba, and they recorded this, of course, before the death of Fidel Castro. But what an interesting thing that will be as well. At any rate, thanks for being with us today. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the latest in the wake of the presidential election. Lots of developments on that this weekend. And a little bit later this week, we will keep you up to date on all things local and national. Thursday, Jim Orban drops by to visit with us in the garden, and we will look forward to that as well. And then coming up on Wednesday, we'll be taking a look at the Hidden Figures of Hampton Roads, that marvelous film that's come out called Hidden Figures, much of it based on the life of Katherine Johnson, an extraordinary woman right here in Hampton Roads. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.